And Father, we marvel at the power of the cross. There is not one person here who deserves to be here. There's not one person here that deserves to be able to commune with you, to have access to you, to fellowship with you. And the fact that we as sinful people can come before a holy God is testimony to the power of the cross, the means by which you have reconciled us to you through the death and resurrection of your Son. And so as we come to you through your word by means of the cross, we praise you and ask you that you would help us now to fix our eyes upon your glorious, marvelous, wonderful Son. Be with us now during this time. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Right out of the gate, I'm going to confess to you that this is going to seem like a very unusual Sunday. We've just finished our study through the book of Jonah. And in about a month, we're going to start looking at the Gospel of Mark. And that's going to take us who knows how long. And in the intervening weeks, we are planning on addressing a few very specific topics that hopefully will be a blessing to you. We're going to talk about the gospel as it relates to singleness. We're going to talk about the gospel as it relates to marriage and the gospel as it relates to fatherhood. But those are all coming. Today is a little different. We're going to spend our time talking about our upcoming retreat that will be taking place later this summer in the end of July. And what is going to seem unusual about this is that what we normally do during this time of the service is we normally open God's word and we're usually preaching verse by verse through a book and we see what God's word has to tell us. And honestly, this possibly could feel like a giant sales pitch to you and that we're just here to sell you on registering for the retreat. But hopefully what's going to happen in the next few moments is it's not going to be unusual at all. Because why in the world do we come here every Sunday? Anytime we gather together as the church, the purpose of our gathering is to focus our attention on what? On glorifying and honoring our Lord. We gather together to focus our attention on him, to honor him, to praise him, to worship him, to love him, and to live for him. So even as we are discussing our retreat and why we're having it and how we can be anticipating it and preparing for it, the aim is the same. We're here to worship the Lord. And so to start off, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. The author of Hebrews writes this. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Can I confess something to you? For many years, one of the things that seemed most daunting about living the Christian life, that made it most challenging for me, was that it seemed so complicated. And it seemed complicated because it seemed like there were so many ultimate things. There were so many different things that seemed like they were being advertised as, this is the most important thing. And it was hard to know what to focus on. You know, I would come to a church and the pastor or a missionary would stand up and say, the most important thing in the Christian life is the advancement of the gospel in the nations for the glory of God. And you hear that and you think, okay, I can get behind that. And then you hear someone else say, the most important thing in the Christian life is to know the word of God. The truth of God revealed in the pages of Scripture. To not know that is to miss out on the most basic fundamental part of what it means to be a Christian. Okay? And then someone else comes up and says, the most important thing in the Christian life is prayer. To be in communion with God, to have a relationship with him, to be communing with him moment by moment. Okay? The most important thing in the Christian life is the church, to be part of a body of believers, the family of God, where you can be held accountable, submit to the elders, where you can sit under the teaching of the word. Okay, what do you focus on It just seems like there's so many different things that are being touted as the most important. And I'm a simple guy. And I needed the Christian life to be boiled down to a simple truth. And thankfully it does. And God's word tells us what it is. There is one most important thing about the Christian life. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the most important thing in Christianity, in life. The passage that we just read in Hebrews describes life as a race. But how does he say you're supposed to run this race? He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? Looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the Christian life. He is the author of your faith. He is the origin of your faith. He is the subject of your faith. What happens when you become a Christian? Before you're a Christian, you are spiritually blind. You have no spiritual vision whatsoever for the things of God. And you are totally, totally blind to the reality that there is a holy God who is righteous, who made you to live for him. And in your rebellion and sin, you have chosen to live for yourself instead. You are spiritually dead and spiritually blind. And the only thing that any of us here deserve is punishment and eternity in hell. And what does God do? He opens our eyes to look to Christ. What's so amazing about Christ? Christ comes into the world as a man to pay the penalty that you deserve for your sin so that you can be made right with God. So how do you become a Christian? It's not by going to church. It's not by signing up on a list. It's by looking to Christ to be your Savior. That is faith. But how do you live as a Christian? The exact same way. Looking to Christ, who is not just the author of your faith, but the perfecter of your faith. The one who will bring it to completion in the end. All of Christianity, all of life, is gazing upon and loving Jesus Christ. And if he is central, if he is the focal point of everything that we do, then everything else falls into place. Missions, scripture, prayer, the church, work, sex, money, food, marriage, all of it comes into focus when Christ is central. That means then that the reason why things go wrong in each of those areas is because we fail to look at Christ. And in failing to look at him, we fail to love him. And in failing to love him, we fail to live for him. And that is why we are having a retreat, to look to Christ. And that is the theme of this retreat this summer. In Christ alone, gazing, growing, and going. We want to spend our time together at that retreat gazing upon Christ, our Savior. We want to grow in our love for him. And as we grow in our love for him, we want to go and live the lives that he wants us to live. Our theme verse, you don't have to turn there, but this is it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. How is it that you are transformed into the image of Christ? It's not rocket science. You behold him. You look at him. You wonder at him. You marvel at him. And you cannot help but be made into his image. To be quite honest, you don't need to go on a retreat. That's not what any person here needs. What each person here needs is to see Christ better. And we really think that this retreat is just going to be a means to that end. It is going to be a tool for us to have an unhurried, focused time to gaze upon Christ so that he might be glorified. And that's our aim for this retreat. And I can think of no better guide to lead us on this adventure of gazing upon our Savior than the man we've selected to be our retreat speaker. His name is Andy Snyder, and he's a professor of systematic theology at the Master's Seminary. And several of the pastoral staff either have gone there or are presently going there as students. And the moment I said, theology professor, I lost about half of you. And I want you to think about all the things that you associate with a professor of systematic theology. It's boring, too academic, confusing, not applicable, all head, no heart, nerdy. And just throw all those things out the window. Because Andy Snyder is none of those things. Except nerdy. He's pretty nerdy. He's one of those rare gifts of God, one of those rare people who can distill very complex theological truths into water for thirsty souls. He has a zeal to see deep, true theology work itself out into deep and abiding worship. After my time with him in seminary, I don't think I'm going to walk away from my seminary remembering him primarily as my professor, but primarily as my friend. He has been such a humble display of love for my family, for people in general, for the church at large, and even in this church. He has loved this church. You can just tell in the way that he talks about us and is thinking about us and asking the right questions about us. I think you're really going to enjoy getting to know him and his family when you meet them this week or this summer. I even asked him how he wants you to address him. And he says he just wants you to call him Andy. And this is why. He wrote this in an email. He says, I very much prefer to be called Andy. In a family, you don't call people by academic titles. My biological brothers think it's hilarious that I'm a doctor. And I'd like to think that the lack of pretension could extend to my spiritual family as well. My standing policy is that you have to pay to call me doctor. Tuition, that is. And so if you're a student of the seminary here, you have to call him Dr. Snyder. But for the rest of you, you get to call him Andy. I could tell you more about him, but I figured actually the best way for you to get to know him was to have him tell you about himself. And so I asked him earlier this week a few questions, and he was real gracious and videotaped his response. And we're going to show them to you in a little bit. And so hopefully it will help you to get to know him and his family a little bit better to prepare you for the retreat.
My name is Andy Snyder, and there isn't really a whole lot to say about me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was raised in a Christian family back in the East in the state of Pennsylvania. I attended college, which is where I began to really grow in my faith and begin to see Jesus more clearly. And then after college, when I got married to the love of my life, Pam, whom many of you know, that was when the Lord really poured his grace into my heart in terms of sanctifying me and really helping me to see that I need to be the man of God that he has called me to be. After about 8 years of being a businessman in the corporate world, the Lord led me to leave that career and to go into ministry. And so in 1997, my wife and I packed up our three little girls, and we made the drive from Ohio to Southern California, where I attended the Master's Seminary. I was a seminary student essentially for the entire decade of my 30s. As it happens, I couldn't quite get enough. The Lord nailed my shoes to the floor here in Southern California, where I was intending to go elsewhere. But the Lord just gave me a love for training men, gave me a love for the classroom environment, and a love for the study of theology. Many of you know, as I said, my wife, because she's been with you in your ladies' ministry, and frankly, you've already gotten the best that my family has to offer. My wife is just an awesome lady, and honestly, if anybody has married up, it is me. Literally, I would not have socks to wear if it was not for this incredible woman that God has placed in my life. I have three girls. My oldest is Emily. She has been married for 2 years to a wonderful young man who graciously and persistently overcame all of my attempts to thwart his pursuit of my precious daughter. My middle daughter is Kendall, who is graduating from high school this year, and my youngest is Abby, who is 15 years old, going on 20, and mom and dad are just trying to keep up. I'm a blessed man, and I'm so glad for my awesome family that God has given me. You asked me to speak a few words about coffee. Frankly, I have to admit that I owe a debt of gratitude to Lighthouse Church for blessing my life with David Lee and also Tim St. John, who both of whom I regard as my mentors and my teachers with regard to coffee. Coffee is just awesome. It's one of God's best gifts, honestly. Between coffee and chocolate, we've got a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And so I hope that at the retreat, we'll have an opportunity to all share some really great coffee together and enjoy that fellowship together. I've actually had a lot of discipleship experiences around the roasting and brewing of fine coffee. But the retreat isn't about any of that, of course. The retreat is about Jesus Christ. I am thrilled with the theme that the elders have chosen, loving Christ. It is so important for us to focus our lives and our thoughts on Christ, because Jesus is the theme of Scripture. We read the Bible, we read the story of redemption in Christ for the glory of God. And so together this summer, we're going to be spending time looking at the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, growing to love Him. God in Scripture is a faithful God, a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God, and His promises to mankind are fulfilled in His Son, Jesus Christ. As we look at the Scriptures, we see that Jesus is the promised one. He is the embodiment of God's faithfulness and the keeping of God's promises to us. He is the revelation of God to us. The writer of Hebrews says that in the past, God spoke in many different ways through the prophets, but the culmination of His revelation to us is His Son. John refers to Him as the Word, who was with God and was God, who came and made God known to us. So how important is it for us to see Jesus clearly? When we see Jesus, we see that He's the Savior. He is our Lord. He is the gracious One who rules over us. He is all these things and so much more. Our theme verse is 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the theme. That's what I hope that we will all do together this summer. I hope that we will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ.
Good morning. My name is Linda Park, and this is my husband, Steve. And we were asked to share how we grew from going to the last family retreat. So at the last retreat, the theme was called Above. Why are you here? Where are you going? And what are you living for? And the focus was just setting our minds on the things above. And the theme verse was from Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And our speaker was Pastor Nam Park. And when he spoke on these verses, he talked about pursuing a Christ-centered life and that we're supposed to orient our minds to heavenly things and how earthly things can sometimes get in the way of that, our pursuit of God. And so I think one area that God's been teaching me in the past few years is to let go of some earthly pursuits like financial security, and that Christ is sufficient for all of our needs. And in the way that He's been teaching me that is through trials, just with Steve, just his job situation. We've gone through some trials with it. It just hasn't been real stable, and there's been times where he hasn't been working, and I haven't been working since we had our son Daniel, who's now 5. And so through these trials, he's helped me to learn and grow in this area of giving and kind of letting go of some earthly things in my life. You know, as a church, we've been encouraged to really look at the idols of our heart. And I think for me, I'm a person who just likes my life pretty stable and comfortable and security. And so God's been really teaching me to let go of some of those earthly things that I hold on to, and to let go of them and to just really trust him and that he will provide for our needs. And I can say that he has really been so good and faithful to us as a family. He's always provided for us. We've never been in need, and he's helped us to grow in these areas. And Steve's going to share in some ways that he's grown too, just dealing with his trial of work. But I think, you know, this is how I would have planned things for my life. I, you know, like I said, I like things stable. But this is God's sovereign plan for our lives and for our family. And I know that he's really worked in us and really shown us his grace and his mercy and his goodness and faithfulness through it all. And so I've been challenged just that Christ is sufficient for all of my needs, and that I need to pursue him alone. I'm to live for him. And he's been teaching me that I need to set my mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. And so just in closing, you know, going to the family retreat, that was the first one. We couldn't go to the very first one. So we went to this last one, and it was a great blessing for our family. I've been to the women's retreats, and Steve's gone to the men's retreats, but this is the first one, you know, we were able to go as a family. And even though our son Daniel, he was just not quite 3 at the time, he still really remembers that. And so, like, when I would go on a retreat, and he would go, gosh, when is it, you know, my turn to go on a retreat? And so this year, we could tell him we're going to go as a family, and it's just like, mommy or daddy not going. And so I just really encourage you. I know for me, just going to retreats, it's been a great blessing, a time of worship, just really learning from God's word, and just really being in some sweet fellowship with our church family. Yeah, it's been a really joy for us. And so I encourage you to really consider and pray about it. And I feel like God will bless you in many ways. Thank you.
Thanks, honey. So, as a family, attending the family retreat was a fairly easy decision for us to make. We had missed the first one. Our excuse was that Daniel was too young. He was older now, and we looked forward to spending some time with our church family through growing through the teaching of the word and just some great fellowship. But my work situation, being what that it was, made paying for the retreat, a concern. But we both felt peaceful about the decision to sign up, and the Lord in his abundant grace provides as he always does. We got some assistance from a family after we had signed up, and my feeling is that family would like to remain the unnamed family, but they know who they are, and we thank them greatly. Our speaker, Nam Park, grew up at the same church that Linda attended from college on. I served there later. I knew he was a master's seminary guy, so I was looking forward to being served up a little bit of meat during some of our sessions. Actually, the theme of our 2012 retreat was the very first message that he preached on 2 Corinthians 3:18. Our theme back then was Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. But set your minds on the things above and not on the things on the earth. And I felt like it was really well-timed for us as a family. It was an opportunity for us to put into practice a lot of the teachings from the preaching that we get on Sunday, as well as our small group material. For me, it wasn't something that was separate, but it just flowed with the theme of what we're learning as a church, and it's something that I know I continuously need to grow in. As a man, I like to control my life. I like to control how I provide for my family, how I keep them safe, how I lead them spiritually, how I love them as Christ loves the church. But being the slow learner that I am, I'm learning that God loves me way too much to allow me to rely on my own strength when he has his abundant grace right before us. As we have learned through Jonah, God is relentless in his pursuit of our hearts. And my particular storm has come in the way of my work. I laugh to myself as I give out my work information because it's changed so much over the past few years. Humbled, embarrassed, I could only imagine what people think. My goodness, Steve changes jobs like I change shoes. But my men's accountability group, our small group, Linda's friends, our church staff, can all to attest that the storms have come, but our God is faithful. He can be, he should be, he has always been, and he forever will be our faithful Lord. I have learned to set my mind on the things that are above, to learn to trust him more, and to learn to trust myself less. Nahum spoke on Mark 10 and on the importance of the phrase son of and the son of man. And being the son of someone means that you have the same nature or same equality. And thus when Jesus claimed to be the son of God, the Jews thought that that was blasphemy. Through the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus, I have become a son of God and thus a fellow heir with Jesus. And as I preach this gospel of grace to myself daily, it helps me to focus on that God is in control and that he desires growth for my life. I am not in control, but I have faith in the one who is. The journey has been very different than what I have expected. But I know that our destination, heaven, will be well worth the trip and an opportunity for us to behold our Lord face to face for eternity. So from the Park family, I'd like you to consider this a personal invitation. So from Linda, my son Daniel, and from me, we would really like you to consider and come and join us. Join us at Biola this summer and let us continue.
Good morning. I'm Michael Good, for those of you who don't know me. I'm one half of Michael and Miriam Good. And I know in these testimonies, we usually have the ladies go first, but in our case, we're saving the best for last. You know, the church leadership came to us and asked if we would say just a little bit about how the last retreat shaped our sense of community here. And to do that, I should give you an even smaller bit of potential, a little personal background about us. We first visited Lighthouse Community Church in about July 2008, and we returned to begin regular attendance here at the very end of that year, so the end of 2008, beginning of 2009. And that's important for two reasons. First, our family, as you can see, is a little different than many of the families who were and are attending here at Lighthouse Community Church. And Kenny Ceruta and I have a running joke about the fact that our return late in the year actually cost him a bet for $20. But more importantly, I would like to say, you know, I've been in Bible-believing churches my entire life. And we, even though our family was a little bit out of the box, we were welcomed with a warmth and a graciousness here that we have experienced in very few other places. Shortly after we started regularly attending Lighthouse, the church leadership announced an all-church retreat to be held on the Malibu campus of Pepperdine University. Well, you know, we'd never been to an all-church retreat before, and so Miriam and the kids and I all decided we would come along and see what it was all about. Several vivid memories about that retreat stand out about it, and which I hope will be an encouragement to some of you who might be considering whether or not to take the plunge with us this year. First of all, there was the location. Some of you may not be aware that Pepperdine is actually my law school alma mater, so for me, it was terrific to be back on campus without any books, except for possibly my Bible and my 4-7 notebook. It was also a wonderful place for families. You know, our family had a wonderful time enjoying the beautiful hills, the basketball courts, and the great facilities that were made available for the retreat and the people here to use. The messages were terrific. You know, Steve and Linda were already sharing, so I'm not going to take too much extra time with that. But Pastor Nam Park from Emmanuel Bible Church, it's Emmanuel Bible Church in Santa Monica, spoke on Colossians 3. And as Steve and Linda were sharing, the challenge to set our minds on things above was both an inspiration and a blessing for us. And finally, there was a fellowship. You know, I didn't think it was possible, but our newly adopted church family, which had seemed so warm and welcoming to us during the first months of our attendance, was actually more welcoming and gracious during the retreat weekend. There are two specific examples that I wanted to share with you this morning, which brought home for me this graciousness personally, and which I thought would be worth sharing. First of all, there was the small groups. You know, church retreats are very large undertakings, and even though every effort is made by the retreat planning team to ensure the best quality at every retreat, there's always a risk of a small oversight. And through what I'm certain must have been a very momentary lapse in quality control, I was made a small group leader at my very first all-church retreat. In case this causes any of you any concern that you'll be a small group leader at your very first church retreat, please know that my small group, which consisted of, among other people, Jessica Lim, Eric and Tricia Lau, Puyi Kam, and some others, they were very gracious and patient with me, and they made up for whatever may have been lacking in my small group leadership skills with terrific participation all weekend long. And second, there was skit night. Now, please don't ask me how this happened, but somehow I ended up in a skit involving Pastor Kim wearing fake dreadlocks and a Dodger baseball cap while I did radio voiceovers about Sizzler's cheese bread. I've thought about that retreat a number of times since the retreat weekend, and I still cannot figure out what that skit was all about. I don't think that anyone there knew what it was about either, but what's remarkable about it was that even though no one knew what was going on, everyone clapped very politely and graciously when we were finished. In fact, now that I think about it, they were probably clapping because we were finished. But what I wanted to mention just in closing is that if you're new to Lighthouse or just new to church retreats, please come and enjoy a wonderful weekend with our very growing and gracious church family. Thank you.
Well, as Mike mentioned, we came to Lighthouse in search of a new church home. Not just a church, but a home, and a place where we could serve and grow with other believers, a place where we could increase in our love of the Lord and our love for others. And after being here only about 7 months, we decided to join our new church family and go on this retreat. The love and encouragement we received those first months made it very easy to jump in and get involved. Did we know everybody there? No. Was it easy to jump in? Yes. Had we walked alongside all our new friends for a very long time? No. In fact, I think Mike and I spent the first day of the retreat trying to make sure we had the right husband with the right wife and the right kids with the right parents and making sure we remembered names, but, you know, it didn't matter. Did we feel out of place at all, or did we feel on the fringe or on the sidelines? Not at all. God blessed us in so many ways. We were able to get to know more families, more people in a closer setting, and in an unhurried way, unlike Sunday mornings. And we had a chance to share meals with different groups of people and begin to worship and study more closely with our new church family in small groups. We were also able to share what the Lord was doing in our lives. And yes, as Mike mentioned, we laughed a lot. There were many skits involved, but you don't have to be a great performer to attend. Everyone was very gracious and welcoming to just love our family the way we are. And we felt at home. The kids program was also wonderful, very great. While the adults were in their sessions and breakouts, the kids enjoyed lessons and activities that strengthened them in the Word and their own fellowship with each other. Most of all, it was encouraging to begin to share our walk with so many believers who have since become very good friends and so much a part of our lives. So whether you've been at Lighthouse for 5 weeks, 5 months, or 5 years, we really do encourage you to come and grow together with our Lighthouse church family. You will be blessed.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's having a great morning. You know, God is good. It's always encouraging to hear how God uses people, places, and events like the retreat to build up and bless his people. So thank you, Michael and Miriam. Thank you, Steve and Linda, for sharing with us today. Okay, last week, you guys were warned. You know it's coming. It's not a secret anymore. Tim St. John, he got the message. He's on board. Some of us are not on board just yet, but it's okay. There's time. You guys know what I'm talking about. The all-church retreat is going to be July 26th to the 29th. That's a Thursday afternoon to a Sunday afternoon. It's going to be on the campus of Biola University, which is a short drive to the city of La Mirada. The theme of the retreat is, as David said, is in Christ alone, gazing, growing, going. And I say that really slowly and methodically because I've been practicing to say that in front of you guys. And I've been saying grazing. It's not grazing, it's gazing, right? So gazing, growing, going, right? There's no cows at this retreat. And if there are, we're going to have iron sharpens iron a little earlier this year. So we just met Dr. Andrew Snyder from Master Seminary. We're very excited to have him be able to teach us from God's Word. He's going to teach us around the idea of knowing Christ and how that affects our everyday living. So we're looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to just being able to fellowship with each other as a church family. You know, as the church continues to grow, it's getting a little harder to connect with everyone on any given Sunday. So I think this is going to be a good chance for all of us just to get away from a few days, just to get away from our normal busy life and just to spend some time together, to reconnect with one another, to meet new people, to meet new friends, and just to build the bond that is our church family. One of the hopes of the retreat vision team as we were planning it was obviously that you guys would be blessed by coming to the retreat. But not only that, we would hope that you guys would leave the retreat refreshed and renewed, right? You guys all been on those vacations where you want to plan to do so much and then you guys do so much and then you come back from vacation and then you guys are just exhausted, right? And so we're hoping that's not the case here. We're hoping, as Jason mentioned last week, that we're actually going to scale back the retreat a little bit from the previous retreats, a little bit less activities, just make it more fun and relaxing. During free time, there will still be a lot of activities, but those will all be optional. There's going to be swimming for a nominal fee. There's going to be a game of ultimate frisbee on the track and field that they have. We're going to be doing a craft again. If you guys remember the last retreat, we did those lighthouses. So Debbie Delmonico has graciously agreed to help us with that again. They also have a student union where we can just hang out and check out a few things. We also have rented out a banquet room where we can also hang out and also play board games for those at late at night. And across the street from Biola, there's actually a little water park run by the city of La Mirada called Splash. So check that out if you and your children are interested. So overall, I think we're going to have a great, fun, and relaxing weekend. And finally, I just want to answer the question that all of you guys have been wanting to ask me. And the question is, what does the campus of Biola look like? Right? Normally, that wouldn't be such an important question, but given that our last retreat, we went to Pepperdine, and you guys remember the hills and the mountains and the Mount Fuji-like terrain that we had to conquer over there? Right? You guys want to know. So I want to draw you guys a picture. With all my artistic ability, because we know the picture says 1,000 words. And so I want to show you what Biola looks like as compared to our last retreat at Pepperdine. That's right. That's right, peoples. It's flat, right? It's flat. Biola's flat. Whew. So, no, in all seriousness, guys, the campus is very family-friendly, child-friendly, stroller-friendly. Everything is relatively close together. The dormitories, the worship room, and the cafeteria. So everything's going to be a nice stroll between activities. Speaking of the activities, the food is pretty good. I've talked to people who go to Biola and people who go to Talbot, and they said the food is pretty good. It's going to be all you can eat with a wide variety of selections. I don't know if there's going to be any cheesy toasts at the retreat, but we'll survive and we'll be well fed. For the living arrangements, we're all going to be in a single building all to ourselves, so that's going to be nice. That's going to be three floors with a lounge on each floor, and I believe there's a kitchenette attached to each lounge. As far as the setup, there will be six families to one room. Just joking, guys. Now, you know I'm joking. Every family is going to have their own unit. There's actually going to be two rooms connected to a bathroom.
And each of the rooms will have 2 bedrooms, and there are going to be air mattresses available. So everyone, we're looking forward to the all-church retreat and hoping you all can join us. We only have it once every 3 years, so please try to make it out if you can. So check your schedules, mark it on your calendars, go to the church website. Registration is available right now. We do have early registration, so sign up early, save a few dollars. Financial assistance is available. The retreat is actually a lot cheaper than the last retreat, so that's good. And we'll see you guys at the All Church Retreat this summer. Thanks, guys.